Riggs Radio Sport.
Hello, hello, sports fans. Happy Friday, and hopefully it's about to get a little bit happier because I have more sports stories for you than there are currently cars queuing on Richmond Hill. Sorry if you're one of those stuck in traffic on your way home from work, but if you are, hopefully this can help the time pass a little bit quicker. Coming up, Manxies are in high demand and being poached by England international squads in athletics and hockey. I have a little bit of this for you.
A massive aim of mine is to be selected for a GB team someday.
And I have a little bit of that for you.
It was a great game. It really was. You know, it was a fierce battle throughout.
Plus a whole bunch of fixtures for you to sink your teeth into in between. Welcome along. I hope you've had a nice week, but if not, put your feet up, relax. I'll take it from here. Thank you very much for joining me this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you along. Turning your attention, as always, to some of this week's sporting headlines to begin with. First up in tennis, and congratulations are in order for 13-year-old Ori Farnworth, who is now ranked 19th in the LTA under-14s boys for the whole of Britain. And not only that, he's been accepted into the qualifying stage of a Tennis Europe BS14 tournament in Wrexham. That's on from the 29th of May until the 5th of June. So a huge, huge congratulations to Ori, and best of luck in the Wrexham tournament next week. Go for it and enjoy it. Sticking with tennis, the Albany Senior Open tournament starts this Saturday, so tomorrow. All players will be informed of their match times by Ian Watson. Finals day, weather permitting, is on Saturday the 29th. Spectators are welcome with free entry and refreshments available. And if you're maybe just wanting to dip your toe into the tennis pool, Castletown Lawn Tennis Club is giving you the opportunity to do just that and also develop your skills if you already have some. The club is hosting an open day on Sunday from 2 o'clock until 5 o'clock. Everyone is welcome, from beginners to experts, with the hopes of encouraging more people to take up tennis, either socially or competitively. Don't have your own racket? Don't worry. Rackets will be available on the day, along with some refreshments and, the most important thing, free cake. So it's taking place at the Castletown Lawn Tennis Club in Maloo Street in Castletown. More information on that can be found on the club's Facebook page, and you can find the link to that on this story on the Manx Radio Sports page. Elsewhere in hockey, but before we come to Sam Spooner, after months of juggling training and schoolwork while going back and forth between the island and the UK through the pandemic, one of the Isle of Man's up-and-coming hockey stars has been selected for the England under-16 squad. Sienna Dunn will represent England in this summer's international games. The Valkyries player has been on the England hockey pathway for more than 3 years now. Sienna's premier match with the squad will be on the 5th of June against Nottingham Uni, and then over the following 2 months she'll also go up against the Welsh and Scottish national under-16 sides. So a huge congratulations to Sienna. And from one England selection to another, there is little rest for the wicked for one Manx runner as she goes from strength to strength. Sarah Aston's brilliant early season form has been rewarded by selection to represent England in this Sunday's Loughborough International. Sarah already has England cross-country vests and British Milers Club road racing credits to her name, but this will be her first one on track for England, where she'll compete in the women's 3,000 metres. I asked Sarah about her game plan going into this weekend.
I haven't actually seen the start list yet. I know some of the girls, so I know because they have someone from, it's at Loughborough University, and it's set up so that the Loughborough University athletes can compete against an athlete from England, Wales, Scotland, and also GB juniors. So I know that it will be a good field. I don't know exactly who's in it yet, but I do know a couple of girls, and I know that they've got a good kick. So I think I'm going to try not to do too much of the work, like hit the front of the race early on. But I know that with about 3 or 4 laps to go, I probably am going to have to push on if I want to have myself a chance to win the race, because I don't have, well, I do have a kick, but I know some of those girls are also very strong in the final stages of the race. So yeah, I'll have to be quite tactical, and I'll have to chat through it properly with my coach beforehand. But yeah, I think that'll probably be what I do, just try and fit in for as long as possible, but not leave it too late to kick at the end. So
yeah, sounds like a good plan. So, and finally, what else is on the horizon for you? Because that, you know, this event this Sunday is, you know, a big step towards next year's Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. Are you aiming for that?
Yeah, so that is pretty much my main aim, actually, just try and make that team, the Isle of Man team, for Birmingham Commonwealth Games. hopefully for the 5K. I am actually going to give the 10K on the track a go in a couple of weeks' time, just to see. I mean, I have no idea how I'm going to run on a 10K on the track. I love doing 10K on the roads, but the track is a different ball game. Just is mentally so hard. So the time for the 10K is 33:30. So I do think I'm capable of doing that. It's just whether I'm in the right race and everything like that. Hopefully have a good day as well. So yeah, but my main aim would be for 5K Commonwealth Games, and along the way, hopefully pick up I really want a GB vest because I've now got my England on the track and cross country, and a massive aim of mine is to be selected for a GB team someday. So I'm hoping that along the way to hopefully Commonwealth, I would be able to do that as well. But my main aim will be Commonwealth 5K.
Sarah Aston there, and very best of luck to her for this weekend. If you do want to watch her race, it is expected to be live streamed, so I will embed the link to that on the story on the Manx Radio Sports page, so you can cheer Sarah on from behind your screens at home or at whatever place of leisure you see fit to do so. Moving on, and there were more surprises and excitement than on Christmas Day in last night's Manx Basketball League, but I'll let Martin Dunn tell you more.
So we're well into the second round of the season now. We've got another 4 weeks of regular season games to go, and then we're into the playoffs. There's a debate in the association whether we go with those full 4 weeks. There are a few games that we might end up cutting to bring the playoffs a little earlier so people have a longer summer. It's been a challenging season, the same as every sport, and we're going to find the right way that matches what our players want, what our officials want, and what we can achieve.
Perfect. So let's talk about last night, because we'll start with the sort of predictable outcomes from a couple of games, and then those two exciting ones that we can chat about. So let's begin with Jets versus PokerStars. What was the result of that, and was there any standout moments in that game that you saw?
Jets were the winners of that. It's kind of expected. I mean, Jets are one of the best teams on the island, if not the best now. It's a very balanced season at the top of the table. PokerStars have had a few challenges with some issues with injuries and losing some players. So Jets absolutely ran that game out, 106-45. Standout moments, though, Matty Jennings dominating on the inside, absolutely unbelievable player. In there every time, getting rebounds, getting back up, getting points on the board, and taking the fouls as well. So he's on the line for free throws. Also, Jake Glover and Wayne Mears, great players, quick down the court, good at mid-range shooting. Overall, really good performance for Jets. And it was great to see their young player, Connor Mockton, really getting stuck in, taking a leading role in some of their offenses. Great to see them bringing through new players.
And then we had Hoops versus Douglas. Final score on this?
Final score 91-58 to Douglas. Douglas are a quick team.
I was watching them last night, and it just reminded me of any sort of film where, you know, you see American teens out playing in like schoolyard basketball, and it's so quick and there's so many trick shots. And I was just, you know, I thought fair play to Hoops, you know, for getting half. I thought their defense was fantastic, but yeah, Douglas's attack was just something else.
Yeah, they're a team that loves the fast break. They're all over on defense. They'll get a steal and they'll be down the court before you know what happens. And they really love that. And sometimes they can be a little bit cheeky with it. They might leave a player down who doesn't come back for defense so they can get those fast break points. But another great thing for Douglas was that they're good at three-point shooting. And RB Gomez showed that off, particularly in the early game yesterday. Hoops, though, PWC Hoops, they are still a team that's not an easy game to win. They are great at moving the ball. They're very aggressive on defense. They will stop you when they can, and they'll always have a presence on a shot. Daniela Cravela, Lauren Ellison, great mid-range shooting, really great effort, really great movement. Hoops still progressing, but yeah, the pace of Douglas, unbelievable.
Hoops just looked, I thought, they just looked really confident. They just seemed to stay cool, calm and collected the whole way through.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're in their fourth or fifth season now, I think, in what was the men's league. The ladies' league folded, and Hoops primarily are the Island ladies' team. The first couple of seasons, it was a little bit interesting. They were a little bit more reserved, as it's a bit more rough and tumble in that senior men's side. But as they've gone through and the years have gone on, they have toughened up, and they are a team who will go for the ball. They have no problem diving on 50-50 loose balls.
Oh, we saw that last night. Yeah,
absolutely. And they can be very aggressive, as they say, on defense. Mm. It's an unwise team to walk into that game thinking they're going to get away with stuff easily.
And just a final point that I liked about Douglas, actually, God, they were relentless on defense. I mean, I love going for the fly, and I know that there's a lot of zone defense in basketball, but they were just going for everything. Yeah, and it was really satisfying to watch.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things about Douglas. When they're on a roll, when they're getting their fast breaks, when they're hitting their three-point attempts, the momentum behind them is just unbelievable. And they will go for everything because they're enthused. They're enjoying it. That's what they want. So, of course, they're going to go for those loose balls. Of course, they're going to keep trying to rack up points.
And then we had a more interesting game. We had not a more interesting game, but an interesting battle between Cavs and Eagles. Now, you predicted that Cavs would take this easier than they did. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think on paper, this would be Cavaliers' reasonably easy game for them, you would think. They have a lot of experience. They have some great players in Sergio Abalea, in Phil Evans, in Dave Mine. They're all there. Good players, seasoned players, they know what they're doing. Eagles are a younger squad. They're still coming through, they're still developing. They've got a lot of schoolboys in there. So you would, on paper, you would play this for Cavs. But Eagles' pace came out the gate and they just flew. They were up and down the court, unbelievably quick, putting the pressure on Cavs, taking advantage of every situation they could. And they ended up in the lead by 8 points at halftime, 21-29. Definitely put a little bit of a shock onto Cavs, I think. Kind of unexpected. They did the same, I will admit, to my team Wolves in the first quarter of the week before. Eagles again, pace up and down the court, a little bit unexpected and caught us a little bit out. But Cavaliers came back in the second half, third quarter, fourth quarter. Sergio and Dave, as we mentioned before, they really stepped up. Dave on the inside, Sergio around the outside, and it gave Cavs just the edge they needed to take the win, 46-40. Definitely a lot closer than we would have expected.
Sounds like some teams are a little bit complacent maybe when it comes to Eagles.
I think definitely. It's a team that it's very easy to fall into that trap of thinking they're schoolboys. They first joined the league 3 or 4 years ago as a development team, and they were inexperienced. But they now have some seasoned players who are still with them from that first season. They also have some new players coming through from the school leagues, and the school leagues are getting stronger and stronger every year. So it's not as big a step from school to senior league. And it can really put the frights on some teams. They step in thinking this is going to be a nice, relaxed, easy game, and they find themselves caught out and chasing a loss.
A lesson to be learned. And then finally, we have Wolves versus Turkeys, which, I mean, not that you're biased, but Wolves is your team, and you said it was an excellent game, if you do say so yourself.
I of course, not biased at all. Wolves versus Turkeys. Turkeys, the current league champions, they've had a little bit of difficulty, though, we have to admit, over the last few games. Lost their last two, and I must say, pleased to say, they also lost last night. Wolves, we took them. It was a great game. It really was. You know, it was a fierce battle throughout. Great defense on both sides. Wolves, really, we pushed hard. We were great on spreading the floor, on moving the ball around, on finding those opportunities for shots. Have to mention Ross Wilson. Great getting inside the lanes, getting points on the board, drawing fouls, and 100% from the free throw line. If I didn't mention that, he would tell me.
Well-deserved that player of the match then.
Definitely well-deserved. Really put the effort in. But it was a team effort as well. Ben Campbell, Kyle Mills were great on the mid-range. On defense, Jack Murray was dominating the boards. All over the boards, both offensive and defensive, getting putbacks, getting the ball, getting it back outside as well. And we also had great work from Ollie Smith, who just joined us back from the UK. This was his first game back. He's been back since January, but hasn't had a chance to come down because of work. And then also Michael Pardo, who were just great on defense, fighting through screens, making sure we were shutting down Chris Wolfendale, who's Turkey's great outside shooter. They still did well. They were pushing hard. They had some nice close game or nice close shots, some nice baskets. Wig, Bragazzi on the inside on the drive, also Krum Gogov, and just great effort, great work. But thankfully for me, Wolves took the win, 46-60.
It sounds like a really, really exciting game. Any other particular standout moments you would like to talk about?
A couple of little highlights, cheeky highlights maybe, but a dirty bank three-pointer from Ben Campbell in the third quarter. I mean, he was coming back down the court and the look on his face told you that it was not a nice shot, but it went in, so you're not going to argue about that. And also, we have to talk about Michael Pardo. Unbelievable, got the ball, went down on offense, and I don't know what happened, but we managed to work the defense right. It parted like the Red Sea, a lane opened straight for the hoop. He drove for it. and bricked the layup. It was
a basketballer's worst nightmare.
Absolutely. Unchallenged layup, completely open defense, took it and just didn't work out. He's a good guy, though. We all had a laugh about it.
He's a fantastic player. Yeah.
Unusual for him to miss that, and so I couldn't not mention it.
Of course. I'm sure he cried himself to sleep last night.
Definitely.
Basketball publicity officer Martin Dunn there. Thank you very much for him. And a huge well done to everyone who was playing last night. It really was a spectacular show of basketball to watch. Moving on now from basketball to hockey with the infamous Sam Spooner.
Manx Radio Sport.
Let's dive straight in with the Women's Cup. So we have Ramsey A versus Backers A. Vikings A take on Saracens. Castletown A go head-to-head with Valkyries A. And we've got Harlequins versus Valkyries B. So Sam, if you had to pick one match in this cup to watch, what would it be?
It's a bit of a tough choice. I'd probably say Ramsey Backers A because I think that might be the closest. Although Backers A go into their absolute favourites, they finished in the top half of the table. But Ramsey A, we haven't really seen their form against the top four sides this season. They've only played once, and it seems like they've improved somewhat since the start of the league season. And I think Ramsey A could be a little bit of an underdog in this competition. So Backers A will need to be careful with that one.
You mentioned another one. I know I said one, but you did say there were two in this cup.
Yeah, the Castan A versus Valkyries A is an interesting one because if Castan A can harness their early season form, they have a big chance against Valkyries A. Castan A started the season really, really well, getting some surprise results. It wasn't so surprising for them. And Valkyries A, you know, they lost 4-0 to Vikings in their last league fixture. So I think Castan A could have a chance against Valkyries A, but they really need to pull up on their early season form.
In the Men's Cup, it was due to be Harlequins A versus Valkyries A at Q2, but that has been postponed till Wednesday, so we'll move on to the women's plate. And that just has the one game in it between Vikings B and Castletown B. That's down at the NSC at 25-4. Moving on to the men's plate, we have Valkyries B versus Castletown A, Saracens B take on Ramsey B, Vikings C versus Castletown B. That has been a walkover awarded to Vikings C because Castletown, unfortunately, have not been able to field a team. So, standout match in the men's plate, you said, is Valkyries B versus Castletown A.
Yeah, the two title protagonists head-to-head here. The two games early on in the season were very, very close between the two sides. Castan A, the final couple of weeks of their season, was a little bit went a little bit awry for them. They lost 4-0 to Valkyries B, and then they lost against Vikings C. Castan A have had some really tight games this season, and they do have a very, very good chance against Valkyries B. The two very young Savage brothers are incredible hockey players. If they can just lift their head up a little bit, find that pass that they're desperate to make, then Castan A will be a force to be reckoned with against Valkyries B. It just also depends what sort of side Valkyries B can get out, how many of their players are going to be permanently taken by the A team, because you can't swap your players between the cup teams. So Valkyries B are very much dependent on how many of their players go up to the A team and how many players they can call up from their under-16s.
Thank you very much, Sam Spooner.
Manx Radio Sport.
And as always, to finish us off, Tony Meppham is in the studio. How are you today, Tony?
Fine, thank you. And football season or league season is coming to an end. Hopefully by next Saturday we'll have most of the fixtures done and dusted. There might be two or three to go, but still one or two important occasions to take care of, and one or two tomorrow.
Well, let's look at tomorrow, starting in the Premier League, and it's a big day for Corinthians. They take on St George's, but it's a big day outside of the match.
Well, it is, because St George's, how many times have we crowned them champions over the last 15 years? Probably about 13 times. And tomorrow it's their turn to just host, if you like, the new champions, Corinthians, because they clinched that recently against Moran. And certainly St George's know what it feels like, and I'm pretty certain Corinthians, there'll be a few nerves, because at the moment they go into this game undefeated. They've only dropped points in that league game against Rushden. But fitting occasion for the boys. They've worked hard for it. The combination got their trophy on Wednesday, and now it's time for the first team to get their medals tomorrow. Presentation will probably take place about 4:15, 20 past 4. Canada Life sponsors will be there as well, and a magnificent trophy it is.
And then also in the Prem, there's just Moran versus Douglas High School Old Boys.
Yeah, the relegation side of it's all sorted now. So John's go down with Douglas Athletic, but it's bragging rights, isn't it? Those league positions at the end of the season. And Douglas High School Old Boys at the moment got one or two players back in, makes them stronger, as well when Moran. At the start, we just thought that they might struggle, but they've done really well, had some impressive results. Team for the future, I think, with the young players that they've got. And even though this one's being played at Blackberry Lane, because Moran at the moment, there's cricket going on there, I would expect Moran just to sneak this one, but I'm pretty certain Old Boys will be trying to prove me wrong and try and get the points.
And unfortunately, we don't have time to go through all the fixtures today, but we will make up for that tomorrow. So the big game in JCK Division 2 is between Paul Rose and Ramsey Youth Centre, who could be in for a promotion tomorrow.
They could be. And there's another game in there as well, Onchan against Jims, because Onchan are just behind Ramsey Youth Centre. The way it works, that Onchan's goal difference at the moment, I think, is 7 different to Ramsey Youth Centre. Now, when you look at Paul Rose, they haven't had a point all season. So you would expect Ramsey Youth Centre to win that one, to clinch that second spot, because Union Mills have been crowned champions already, and they'll play with the big boys next season. But football can be a funny thing. There's been a lot of football of late, and just see what players they've got available. But I expect Ramsey Youth Centre to get that win. And Onchan, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher than they think against the gym side that have played well recently, but I still expect Onchan to win that. But I don't think they'll get enough to get that promotion spot.
So it's short and sweet this week, but don't worry, because Tony Meppham is going to be sticking around with Chris Kinley and guests Ewan Watton and Ben Qualtrough for Friday Football Focus just now. But for Friday Sport Preview, that's all for this week. Thank you very much for having me on. I will be back with you tomorrow on AM for Saturday Sport Classified. That's at 5 o'clock in the evening, when we'll have the results from all the fixtures mentioned tonight and those that we didn't have time for. Plus, we'll have some Race the Sun news, and my mother will be making the most of nepotism. She'll be back in the studio tomorrow to preview Sunday's netball matches. So until then, have an awesome Friday night, and I'll catch you tomorrow. Bye for now.